This is your AEW Dynamite review for August 11, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. Jericho gave labor in the main event tonight. Went pretty much the way you would have expected it to go. Chris Jericho getting the win over Wardlow. He will now get his fifth labor against MJF. But it will not be at All Out. The match was announced for Dynamite next week, which is kind of strange. Because you know they're going to end up going to All Out anyway. They're going to wrestle it All Out. So the question is, what do they have planned for next week? Probably some kind of a non-finish. It is official. Christian Cage will be challenging for the AEW World Championship at All Out against Kenny Omega, which tells me that not only will CM Punk be wrestling on that show, which we kind of figured he would be if he debuts next week, then he can have his first match at All Out. But, let's be honest, if CM Punk is going to wrestle in Chicago at All Out, that's going to be bigger than any match involving Christian Cage. Not that Christian Cage and Kenny Omega won't go out there and have a very good match, but Christian Cage against Kenny Omega is not a main event suitable for All Out. So if CM Punk is going to be wrestling on that show, if he's going to be wrestling Darby Allin, let's say, right, which was kind of teased a few weeks ago, I think we know what the true main event of that show is going to be. And if I'm right, this would be the second AEW pay-per-view in a row, if Omega doesn't go on last, where the championship match is not the main event. Double or Nothing, right? Back in May, Stadium Stampede went on last, and it was Omega and Orange Cassidy in the co-main. We could be heading into a similar situation here at All Out. Could be the second straight pay-per-view that we see that. Unless Christian doesn't make it to All Out at all, which I think is a very distinct possibility. I've got news on Rampage this Friday, which is kind of what has me thinking that this might be a possibility. We'll talk about Rampage. We're only 48 hours away from the debut of AEW Rampage on TNT this Friday. I'm going to be here live with you again on Friday night. As soon as Rampage goes off the air after 11 o'clock, you can come on back here. We'll talk about the show. But before we get into what I thought was overall a very, you know, it was, I don't want to say bland, because not everything on the show was bland, especially the opener, which I thought was a lot of fun, but a very ho-hum episode of Dynamite. I mean, they kind of move things along a little bit, but not really feeling it. I wasn't really a fan of the show this week. I got to tell you, I've had other shows in recent weeks that I've been a much bigger fan of. This one didn't really move me. It didn't make me move. The Solemn Monster was not moved by Dynamite this week. Tony Khan did his weekly appearance on Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM. Just a couple of quick notes here. He made a comment. I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know if he slipped by accident and then caught himself. But he was talking about the first dance, next week's Rampage in Chicago at the United Center, where we all expect CM Punk to make his debut, because if not, then what the hell are we doing here? That would be about the biggest blunder that could possibly happen to AEW, being that they haven't exactly batted down the rumors and the reports that are out there. They've been very coy about this, so can you imagine if CM Punk does not show up, or if there's no mention at all of CM Punk next week? So he'll be there. But Tony Khan made the comment. He said, I think everyone knows what to expect at the first dance. And then his voice kind of trailed off a little bit. It's almost like he caught himself. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. It's all but a given at this point. He also said that the Rampage announce booth will not always be four men, which, thank God. I said last week, if it's just going to be for 1 week, with the big debut, they're going to have Chris Jericho, they're going to have Taz, they're going to have Excalibur, they're going to have Mark Henry. You know, if they're only doing that for the opener, then that's fine. But we do not need four men in the announce booth, or four women. We don't need four people in the announce booth every week. And he seemed to knock that down and suggest that this is just going to be a one-week thing, which I hope it is. And then I hope we go back to two. Because I don't think we need three either. They do two on Dark just fine. But CM Punk, speaking of which, he made an appearance on the Sunday night's main event podcast. Because now, you know, he's doing promotion for this this new show on Showtime, this Heels show, the Stephen Amell show. It's about wrestling. And Punk has a role on the show. So he's got to go out and he's got to do press and media. Well, CM Punk is not going to go out and do press and media and not be asked about the rumors about him going to AEW. So it's interesting to see how he is navigating through these questions. But he got a question about, what are you doing next Friday, or where are you going to be next Friday? And he made the comment, he said that he might be doing a screening of episode 3 of Heels in Chicago on the same night that AEW just so happens to be at the United Center. So, shucks, he's going to be at a movie theater somewhere. Damn. Well, I guess that's the end of that. I guess no CM Punk. I don't know what they're going to do. He's going to be at a theater somewhere, so there's your answer. He also said, he was asked about best in the world, right? Because Darby Allin made that comment, best in the world. He said, best in the world, that could be anybody. He said, that's Brian, right? He goes, that's my assumption, referring to Brian Danielson, who also has called himself best in the world. He's putting it all on Danielson now. He's saying, I think maybe they're talking about him. They're not talking about me. We're almost there. A little over a week. And all the fun begins. I am very curious. You know, I've seen these reports that have come out about how Punk has looked in the ring. People who saw him on the show said that he looks as if he never even missed a day. It looks as if he's been training for a while in private in preparation for a return to the ring, which I'm sure he has. I'm sure this whole deal with AEW didn't come together in the last couple of months. And that coupled with the show, I'm sure he's been in the ring. I'm sure he's been working off whatever ring rust there may be. He is a lot older, but he's had 7 years to heal up from all the nagging injuries and everything that were plaguing him when he was in WWE. You know, when he talked about the fact that it was almost like he was half dead. 7 years away, I know he had the two fights, but those didn't last very long. I don't think he took too much abuse during those fights. 7 years away will do a body good. Are we going to see an improved CM Punk in the ring? Is he going to look slower? Is he going to look older? I'm very curious how he's going to look in his first match back. Is it going to look like the Punk of old? Is he going to be better? Because again, think of how banged up he was in his last run in WWE. That's what I'm most curious to know about. But anyway, there's your weekly CM Punk update. We're getting close, people. We're getting awfully close. We're only 9 days away. 9 days! We're only 9 days away. Only 9 days. Show opened with a backstage promo. MJF was with Wardlow, and he was cutting a promo on Chris Jericho. He said Jericho worked as hard as he had, only to be stopped right by the finish line. Wardlow was going to take care of him and make sure that Jericho didn't get the match with MJF. He goes, if somehow Jericho were to vanquish Wardlow, which Wardlow, his eyebrows kind of perked up when MJF said that. He goes, if by chance Jericho can somehow find a way to win, he goes, it won't matter because you're going to find out that I'm still better than you. And Wardlow said that it wouldn't matter. He's going to beat Jericho anyway. And MJF, who is eating an apple, turns to Wardlow and basically gives him an ultimatum. He says, well, like you beat Cody Rhodes in the cage, which was on one of the early episodes of Dynamite, when Wardlow, I think that was Wardlow's first loss. And he handed him the apple, and he said, just get the job done. And as MJF walked off, Wardlow crushed the apple. So they're teasing tension between the two of them. I thought that, you know, it would be a little more blatant. Maybe MJF would inadvertently cost Wardlow the main event. There was a distraction involved, but they're not going to the split between them just yet. But they've dropped little hints of it here and there. I've made the comment before. I think when that day comes that the split does happen, Wardlow has the potential to be a huge babyface. He could be a huge babyface monster in this company. So they need to be very careful with how they handle Wardlow. Clearly, with all these big names coming in, now would not be the time to turn him and try to elevate him to the top, because he's just going to be overshadowed by the Punks and the Bryans and, you know, even Malakai Black. But at some point in the next year, I think the split will happen. And Wardlow, he's going to be the dark horse to keep an eye on as a babyface. That's where his future is. We open with a trios match, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against Dante Martin of Top Flight. I guess his brother's still out with an ACL injury. His partners, Matt and Mike Seidel. This was a showcase for Dante Martin. Honestly, up until the final, I'd say, 5 minutes or so of this match, it was okay. It was like any other trios match that you would see. The crowd was, you know, mildly into it, but nothing like the 10-man tag a few weeks ago. This place was on fire. It was nothing like that until they got to the latter part of this match, where Dante Martin got the hot tag and started to run wild. And this was a total showcase for, I think he is the youngest member of the AEW roster. I think he's 20. So he's the youngest guy they have. And he had this building in Pittsburgh cheering for him like he was wrestling Omega for the world championship. This is one of the things that AEW does, and I give them credit for. And we've seen it in recent weeks. We saw it with Miro, and we saw it with Lee Johnson a few weeks ago in the TNT title match, where Lee Johnson had a hell of a match, I thought, against Miro. Now, he wasn't going to win, and he didn't win, but he showed a lot of promise. He got a lot of offense in. He showed a lot of potential. These are the young guys. AEW has been focusing, you know, even if they don't win, they've been focusing on these younger talents who seem to be getting over, and the crowd is able to get behind them. And these are young kids who are in their early 20s. You know, these are young guys who at some point can make up the nucleus of this company. So for all of the older guys or all of the ex-WWE guys that they've been signing and bringing in and they're waiting to debut, and it does seem like, you know, it's getting a little full. Despite that, they have a solid core, a solid nucleus of young talent that they could really build up. You know, Wheeler Yuta, who I'm going to talk about a little bit later, he was in one of the later matches. You know, he's an impressive kid. He's also another one. He's young, I think early to mid-20s. And supposedly WWE, he had a tryout with them, and they passed on him. I don't know if an offer was ever made, but this was relatively recently. They could have had him, and they passed on him. They, I guess, didn't see anything in him. He wasn't what they were looking for. But in someone like him, who looks really good, really young, and for someone with his experience level, he's pretty smooth in the ring, he's another one. If he sticks around long-term in AEW, 3-4 years from now, sky's the limit. So they really do. They have a lot of talent. They have maybe too much, but they have a solid core. And we got to see Dante Martin shine here in this match. He got a great hot tag. He was cleaning house, all fired up. Hit a double springboard Hurricanrana out of the ring onto Omega and took him over out on the floor. Then he hit a double springboard splash onto Matt Jackson for a near fall. Omega came back with a series of V-triggers. He hit an Ushiguroshi on Martin, followed that up with a V-trigger, and picked up Dante for the one-winged angel. Dante slipped out, hit a Pele kick for a two-count. Omega went for a tiger driver, and again, Martin spun out of it. He got out of it. Omega went for, the Bucks, actually. The Bucks cleared the Seidels out of the ring with super kicks. Omega hit a one-winged angel, finally hit the one-winged angel. And then came a three-way BTE trigger by the Elite. Out goes Dante Martin. Kenny Omega gets the pin. Thanks for coming, kid. But this was the biggest night of his career. He's a tag team guy. But for the first time in his career, he had a chance to really shine here on Dynamite as a single. And the crowd got behind him. So that was really cool to see. I thought the ending of this was a lot of fun. I thought Dante looked great here, and the end of this match was a lot of fun. So Don Callis, who was on commentary, he comes down to the ring when the match was over. And he yanks the microphone out of Tony Schiavone's hand. This might have been a record because he didn't just yank the microphone out of his hand once. They went to a break. They came back. He did it again. Twice. Twice in one segment. He yanked the microphone out of this guy's hand. And out comes Christian Cage. And Callis goes, look, it's Christian Cage. It's the Stanford Stooge. I'm not even sure what that's really supposed to mean. I feel like half their roster is formerly from Stanford. Is he implying that Christian is a mole of some kind? I don't exactly know what he was implying or what he was going for there. But he goes, you're an idiot. You're outnumbered. Out comes Jurassic Express. No Marco stunt. Here comes Jungle Boy. Here comes Luchasaurus to back up Christian. That's when they cut to a break. They come back. And Callis takes the mic again. He says, you know, Christian is getting the shot at Kenny Omega at All Out. It is now official. And at that point, we got loud chants of CM Punk throughout the arena here in Pittsburgh. Don Callis didn't stop to acknowledge it. He steamrolled right over it. He just stayed focused on what he was trying to say, and he totally no-sold it. Finally, Christian said, are you finished yet, you carny piece of shit? Then he apologized. He goes, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're in Pittsburgh. What I should have said is, are you finished yet, you carny jagoff? Which I guess is a Pittsburgh thing. I'm not from Pittsburgh, so I don't exactly know the origins of that. Perhaps somebody in the chat can fill me in. But everybody popped huge when he said it. So I guess everybody in Pittsburgh are a bunch of jagoffs. And they seem pretty happy about it. Of course, Pittsburgh is also the city where Bret Hart says that if you were to give the United States of America an enema, you would stick the hose right in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Even Bret in his book thought he took it a little too far. It was a little harsh. A little harsh. So anyway, the crowd popped. Christian said he talked to Tony Khan, who was busy chatting with Impact executive Scott D'Amore, who he saw later on. He came out to do commentary for the Impact tag title match. And this Friday in Pittsburgh, in the very first match, the opening match on the very first episode of AEW Rampage, it will be Kenny Omega, who is the belt collector, right? He doesn't just have the AEW world title. He's also got the Impact world title. He's going to be defending the Impact World Championship against Christian Cage. So then Jungle Boy jumps in. He says, he and Luchasaurus also talked to Tony Khan. And it just so happens that on Dynamite next Wednesday, he and Luchasaurus are going to be challenging the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team titles. So it is very weird to me that they would open the first ever episode of Rampage with a title defense of a title that does not belong to the company. It is someone else's championship. That I find a little strange. But in a way, it's clever because what it allows them to do is they can advertise and deliver a title match without actually giving away their own AEW title match. That they can save for the pay-per-view. So we're going to give you a championship match. It's not our championship, but they still get to advertise a title match. So that is kind of clever. I can understand why they would want to do that. Look, we'll see how this plays out, but let me paint a picture for you, okay? Just to be fair. We got to be fair about this. Because if this is something that WWE had done, people would be jumping down their throat, myself included, would be jumping down their throat. Even though I think they have a longer-term plan. They know where they're going with this. Look at where we are right now after tonight, right? We had Hangman Page, who the fans were clamoring for, to challenge Kenny Omega for the AEW World Championship. And he lost. He lost his opportunity. And as of right now, he is not getting a championship match against Kenny Omega. So you have taken that away from the fans. And instead, what you have done now, Hangman Page is out of the picture for whatever reason. And instead, you're giving Christian Cage, the ex-WWE guy, the older ex-WWE guy, not just one title match on television, but two. One on television this week, and then another one in the main event of your next pay-per-view. That's not a good look. The way things are structured right now, that's not good. And I would hope that Tony Khan and the Brain Trust in AEW have some greater plan in mind here. As these next few weeks unfold, as we progress through these Rampage shows into All Out. Because I, you know, as much as I think a Kenny Omega Christian match will be very good, I don't really have the appetite or the desire to see two matches back to back. I figured they would do the match in the main event of the United Center show next Friday. Right? That way you do whatever you're going to do with Punk, but you could also advertise an AEW World title match in the main event, Omega wins, and then you give us a better match, a bigger match, at All Out. They're going a different way with it. They're going to give us an Impact title match, and they're going to give the match away on television, and then they're going to give it to us again on pay-per-view. And I am skeptical about that. I am skeptical that that is how this is going to play out. That's why I said, let's let it play out. But as things stand, again, if WWE had done something like this, people would be ripping them, and rightfully so. So, we'll see what they have up their sleeve here, because here's the other thing about this, right? Okay, let's say that they're going to do this match next week. And then let's say they're going to go to All Out, and they're going to have an AEW World Championship match. Well, then what do you do in this match here? Logic would dictate that Christian should get the first win. The AEW title is not on the line in this first match. You can give Christian a win. He's undefeated so far. He beats Omega, and he shows, I can beat you. I'm still unbeaten. He gets a huge win over the AEW World Champion, takes the Impact title. So now Impact has Christian, who can make appearances on their show, defending the Impact World title. But going into All Out, Christian now has a huge win under his belt to prove that, you know what, it's not a done deal that I'm going to go in here and lose. I can beat this guy. I hate that idea, because that means Kenny Omega has to lose. Kenny Omega should not be losing before All Out. And now that we know the main event for All Out, or the co-main event, Kenny Omega shouldn't be losing there either. But I don't like the idea of Omega losing on television a few weeks before All Out, when he has had this flawless year where he has yet to be beaten and people are just waiting for somebody to finally pin this guy's shoulders to the mat. You can't beat him. You can't beat him on TV before you get to the pay-per-view. I don't like that idea. So that leaves doing some kind of a disqualification, some kind of, you know, interference, you know, finish of some kind. The idea crossed my mind maybe of having Hangman Page show up on Rampage this Friday and cost Kenny Omega the Impact World title. I could see them doing that too, but that still results in a loss for Kenny Omega. So that's kind of the issue I have with this. I'm not enamored with the idea of him losing, and he may not lose, but I can't just see them having him beat Christian, and then you just do the match 2 weeks later, and he beats him again. I feel like there's something else going on here. So I am not convinced that we are getting Christian and Omega at All Out. We're getting it on Friday. I don't know that we're getting it at the pay-per-view. We'll see what they do. We had a pre-tape promo from Malakai Black. He said Cody had one foot in the grave, and when he wanted to put both feet in, he would be ready for him. So when Cody is ready to come back and have the job finished, Malakai will be waiting for him. He said he had made good on everything he said he was going to do. He put to bed the narrative in society that he who speaks the truth is labeled a fool. He said whoever he appears in front of next will find out quickly that they are arguing with a god. We then got a promo for Cody and Brandy's new reality show, Roads to the Top, which debuts on September 29th. They didn't give a time, but I would have to assume it's a Wednesday, so I would have to assume it's going to be airing after Dynamite, not before. So I will not be watching. I will be here with you. It's going to be me against Cody. Cody's my new competition at the end of September. So I will be here live on YouTube with you. I will not be watching Roads to the Top, unless I have time for it later in the week. But I have enough wrestling to watch. We'll see. Del Fuego Del Fuego in the chat. I love you too. I love you too. What do you think of my thumbnail? What do you think about the labor of Jericho? Shout out to Steve Mello. Darby Allin against Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia. What was I just talking about? Another one. Another young, I don't know if he's full-time or not. I don't know if he's under a full-time AEW contract yet. Usually they put those graphics out that say so-and-so is all elite. So I can't say for sure if he's signed or not, but he's another one. He's another young guy on the roster who clearly they think a lot of. The way they talk about him on commentary and the way they kind of build him up, he's another one who, if he ends up signing full-time, if he isn't already with AEW, could be a future player for them. It's the second week in a row now that he's been featured. He went one-on-one with Darby Allin, got a lot of offense in. He was working over Darby's arm a lot. Allin went for the Fujiwara armbar early. Garcia, though, reached the ropes. Garcia had 2.0 in his corner, the former Ever-Rise from NXT. Also, I don't know that they're signed full-time with AEW. I don't believe so, but this maybe is their trial period where the company is giving them a look. But they were in Daniel Garcia's corner. They provided the distraction that allowed him to take control. We go to break, we come back. And Garcia was working over Darby's arm. Darby avoided an attack in the corner. 2.0 distraction, though, led to Garcia knocking him off the top rope. There was a chop from Daniel Garcia that fired up Darby Allin. He came back with slaps. Allin countered a suplex into a coffin drop attempt, but Garcia caught it on the way down, and he applied a rear naked choke. Allin jackknifed out of it, hit a stunner, and then hit the coffin drop for the win. Now, after the match was over, 2.0, they were about to attack Darby, but Sting cut them off. He and Darby then beat them both down. Sting hit a suplex on the ramp to Matt Lee and sent both members packing. And I figured this felt like it was leading to a match. And I'll run down the card for next week a little bit later on. But in fact, it is. It's leading to a Texas Tornado match on television next week. We're going to see Sting wrestling. I think this is going to be his first official match, regular match on Dynamite next Wednesday. We cut backstage, and we saw Death Triangle. All three members of Death Triangle. We had Penta, we had Phoenix, we had Pac, all on the back. They're trying to fire up Pac. Penta said he wanted Andrade first. And Pac told them, look, don't worry about it. You guys focus on the tag team titles. He said that he has no idea why Andrade is obsessed with Death Triangle. But if Andrade still has a problem, Pac is ready to fight anytime, anywhere. Later on in the show, there was another backstage segment, this time with Andrade and Chavo Guerrero. They were with Dasha. They called Pac ungrateful. Chavo suggested that Andrade teach him who's the boss at All Out. So we now have the first big Andrade match is now official. It's one that I've been looking forward to. Like I said, any of these three members of Death Triangle against Andrade, just give it to me. I'm ready. I'm tired of these stupid promos where he says a few words and then Chavo or Vicky or somebody does the talking for him. Enough. What's going to get Andrade over are not these backstage segments. These backstage segments, he does not come off great in these backstage segments. There's nothing about these segments that screams star. If he's going to get over, he's going to get over based on his work in the ring. He's going to go out there. He's going to try to have the best match on the show. He has that ability. He is a star performer in the ring. You put him in the ring with someone like Pac, and you're going to get a clinic. So I don't know if it's official or not, but that's the match for All Out, and I'm here for it. That's going to be fantastic. A great addition to the pay-per-view. We had Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Wheeler Yuta, who I was just talking about a little bit earlier. Wheeler Yuta taking on Matt Hardy and Private Party. There was some, not controversy, but I saw some wrestling news websites reporting the fact that Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky might be expecting baby number 5. They just had baby number 4, like not even 6 weeks ago. But Rebby had put a tweet up saying, you know, number 5 with, I think, some emojis. And everybody ran, and I was wondering if they were trolling, but everybody ran with it like it was news. And then I saw today, Rebbe put a tweet up saying, guys, it was just a joke. Matt was just joking about something. Everyone's making comments. Don't these two have any hobbies? Don't they have a TV in their house? Is there nothing else that these two do? Matt Hardy is going to be giving Stu Hart a run for his money. What, they have 13 kids in the Hart family there, he and Helen? He's building up his own little clan. He could build a whole friggin' wrestling promotion just around the Hardy family. I'm sure there will be a baby number 5, but no. Rebbe is not pregnant. But Hardy, at the beginning here, he was doing the whole delete hand sign in front of Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy took his hand, he took Matt's hand, and he placed Matt Hardy's hand in his own pocket. In Orange Cassidy's pocket. It's a little weird. I think he sexually harassed Matt Hardy is what I think happened here. So Hardy hit a side effect. He got a 2 count. Nyla Rose came down a few minutes later. She attacked Chris Statlander. That was ahead of their match later on in the show. So she took out Statlander. Orange Cassidy was taken out by Jack Evans on the outside. Wheeler Yuta, he tagged out to Chuck Taylor, who took out Private Party all by himself. He landed a spinning sit-out powerbomb for a near fall on Marquen. Cassidy recovered. He cleared Matt Hardy from the ring. Yuta tagged back in. He landed a top rope splash on Marquen for a near fall. So Marquen got a blind tag to Isaiah Cassidy. Not to be confused with Orange Cassidy. I got two different Cassidys here in this match. So Yuta didn't see it. He didn't see the blind tag, hence why it's blind. And Cassidy broke up a German suplex pin that Yuta was going for with a splash off the top rope. So Private Party hit Gin and Juice on Yuta. Orange Cassidy broke up the pin. Jack Evans created yet another distraction. And Matt Hardy used Isaiah Cassidy basically as a human battering ram. He took Isaiah Cassidy and shoved him into Orange Cassidy. We had a collision of the Cassidys here. And that took them out of the ring. He hit a twist of fate on Wheeler Yuta for the win. I did not need to see Matt Hardy pinning Wheeler Yuta, but I guess you got to throw a dog a bone every now and then. They don't win too many matches, so I guess every now and then you got to give Matt Hardy a win, but kind of over the whole Matt Hardy thing in the ring. I feel like Matt can contribute in probably a whole variety of ways. I don't really need to see him in the ring anymore. That's me. I didn't like this. This was too busy. I'm trying to keep track of what's going on here. I'm trying to keep notes on everything. And there's just too much going on. And you have, you know, TH2, and there's Jack Evans on the outside. Wasn't a fan of this, but Yuta is impressive. What little I've seen from him so far on AEW television, he is impressive. Nyla Rose against Chris Statlander. Nyla attacked before the bell, and Statlander, she got control for a little bit before being taken out with a pounce. Nyla hit a German suplex, but Statlander avoided the follow-up, hit a pendulum moonsault off the apron. And Orange Cassidy was outside, Vicky Guerrero was outside. Vicky goes over to Orange Cassidy, and she begins to scream. I could swear that I heard dogs and animals who live on the block, houses away, howling, like they could hear this. This was just this piercing, decibel-busting sound from this woman. She shrieked right in Orange Cassidy's ear, right in my ear. And that provided a distraction. I mean, how could it not? And Nyla used the distraction to hit a choke slam for a near fall. Later on, Statlander fought out of a corner attack, hit a powerbomb out of the corner, followed by her Area 451 finish for the surprise clean win. Surprising to me, I didn't expect her to get the clean win here, but I'm glad she did. I'm glad she did. The right person won. And it would seem to me that we might be heading for Chris Statlander challenging Britt Baker for the AEW Women's Championship, possibly at All Out in Chicago. That's assuming, of course, that Britt Baker retains the title over Red Velvet Cake this Friday. Talk about them later. Here's another segment where I would say if this were to happen on Monday night, you would be getting a rant about something like this from me and probably from a lot of people. This segment was dumb. I didn't like this segment. The Young Bucks were backstage. There's the basketball hoop in the background. I mean, I think I'm over the whole basketball hoop thing by now. They had the basketball in their hand. Like, when they were doing the Space Jam tie-in and all that, like, I kind of got it. All right, fine. Is this going to become a regular part of their shtick now with all the basketball nonsense? I hope not. But they were in the back with Brandon Cutler. They said next week would be easy as a layup. Jurassic Express all of a sudden showed up, and we saw Jungle Boy dunk the ball through the hoop while Nick Jackson complained that it was a foul. Aha! Comedy. This segment sucked. This was cringy, corny bullshit. I didn't like this. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to introduce the hometown hero, the AEW Women's Champion, Britt Baker, here in Pittsburgh, or Brittsburg. They were calling it Brittsburg. Yeah, Thomas in the chat says the Young Bucks like trolling people. Well, let me tell you what the problem is with that. When they did that on television a few weeks ago, like I said, that was the whole Space Jam tie-in, I get that, you know, and they were really laying it on thick, right? And that was fine, because I know what they were trying to do. When all you do, though, is you do silly segments like this just to troll, gets old. It gets old. And what we saw here in this segment wasn't overly offensive. It was a relatively brief segment. Didn't take up too much time. But it was stupid. And not in like a heel heat kind of way. They played it off like they do a lot of stuff for comedy. I just thought it was dumb. So you may be right. That may be what they're going for. But when that's all you do is just troll every single week, it gets old. And it's not clever, it's not amusing, it's not funny anymore. It's just stupid. But back to Britt Baker. They showed her parents in the crowd. They were very proud of their daughter. Schiavone asked her about Red Velvet. Baker said that she couldn't comment on Velvet's rise to the top because she couldn't relate. She's pretty much been number one here in this company ever since day one. She stepped up when Pittsburgh needed a champion. She said Red Velvet may have had some hope if they were wrestling in any other city, but this Friday, the two of them are going to be in the main event. They're going to be in the closing match of Rampage. And when the match is over, she said you're going to hear still your AEW Women's Champion, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Velvet ran out, attacked Baker. They had a pull apart between them. You know, just to build up some excitement, I guess, heading into the inevitable Britt Baker win on Friday. I don't think anybody in their right mind actually believes that there's going to be a title change. So you're not going to really have any drama here, right? But she's got to knock off a few people before she gets to the bigger names, like a Thunder Rosa, right? In a few months, they'll come back to that. We'll see what happens when Ruby Riott, right? Ruby Soho, supposedly on her way into AEW next month. So in the meantime, she's got to beat people like Red Velvet and probably Chris Statlander it all out. These are the matches that you have to do, but the outcome is not in doubt. We had the Good Brothers defending the Impact Tag Team Championship against the Dark Order tandem of Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. Boy, you know, with all this Impact talk, and we're getting an Impact World title match on Friday, we had an Impact Tag Team title match here, Impact could not buy this kind of publicity. They should be thanking their lucky stars that their championships and champions are being featured in this way. I don't know that it's really making that much of an impact. Well, no pun intended, making that much of an impact on their weekly show and their weekly ratings. But if you're someone like a Scott D'Amore, who was also on the show tonight. He did commentary for this match. You got to be loving this. Because AEW, let's be honest, I mean, they're not really getting much out of this. I like the fact, again, that AEW has open borders and will feature talent and champions from other companies. But in the case of Impact, I mean, it's not like they're getting much out of it, right? They get access to the Good Brothers. Okay. But Impact, I mean, they were all over. All the Impact mentions were all over this show tonight. Stu Grayson took everybody out with a tope before the bell. There was a double team from the Dark Order that led to a jackknife pin from Stu Grayson for a near fall. Brandon Cutler pulled Uno off the ring apron, but Colt Cabana took care of him. Frankie Kazarian, the Elite Hunter, right? That's what he's called, right? He's the Elite Hunter. I think things keep going the way things are going with NXT. There might be another Elite Hunter. That would be the biggest wrestling story of the year. Frankie Kazarian is going to have to move over. We might have a different Elite Hunter coming to AEW before all is said and done. But anyway, so Frankie Kazarian ran out. He met Cutler on the apron with a clothesline, pulled him to the back. Gallows beat down Uno on the floor. They went to a break. Come back. Uno hit a Hurricanrana. Got the hot tag to Stu Grayson. Grayson suplexed both Good Brothers before hitting a twisting springboard moonsault for a near fall. Grayson hit a double Pele kick on the Good Brothers before the Dark Order hit their double team overhead suplex. The Cannonball 450 splash combo followed for a near fall. So they went for fatality, but Gallows interrupted. Grayson fought out of the Magic Killer, hit an assisted tope on Gallows before Uno hit a flatliner on Karl Anderson. They went for fatality again, but there was a distraction, and Karl Anderson hit the gun stun, followed by the Magic Killer for the win. So the Good Brothers retain their Impact Tag Team title. Temjin in the chat says, I see what you did there. I see what you did there, Solid Monster. You sly devil, you. That's why you got to pay attention. But they hit the Magic Killer and they retain the titles. Uno and Grayson are very good. Stu Grayson, I would even say, is very underrated, especially when he's a House of Fire in there, gets a hot tag or something. He's great. But this wasn't. I didn't think this match was anything special. In the ring, speaking of not being anything special, that brings us to QT Marshall, who was in the ring to apologize. They've delayed this segment by like 2 weeks, right? They've been promoting that he was going to apologize to Tony Schiavone, but you knew he really wasn't. So they were in the ring, and he was going to apologize to Tony for, what was it, a protein shake, I think, he dumped on his head. At this point, it was like a month ago. He said Tony should be apologizing to him, but instead he would apologize. But not for what he did a few weeks ago with the protein shake, but what he is about to do to his son right now. And he sent Nick Camerato, Caveman Camerato, out of the ring into the front row where Tony Schiavone's son Chris was located. So he grabs Chris Schiavone, brings him into the ring. QT punches him in the gut. They got Schiavone, Tony, as well. They're holding him, and he's freaking out. He's pleading with him to stop. Calls him a son of a bitch. And then he tells Tony that the apology was not accepted. And he hit a diamond cutter on Tony's son. So all of a sudden, out comes, the whole reason this took place was to set up the arrival of Tony Schiavone's broadcast partner on AEW Elevation, The Big Show. Well, it's the big slow, and out he comes. Here comes Paul White, marching down to the ring, and he gets into the ring, and QT shoves Aaron Solo at him, the sacrificial lamb, and Big Show gives him a choke slam. QT Marshall runs away. So they're setting up for a QT Marshall-Paul White match. We knew Paul White was going to wrestle. He said as much when he signed with the company. It's in his contract. He's not just going to do commentary, but he will wrestle. We haven't seen him have a match yet, and it seems like we're about to. I don't even know that you really need to do it on the pay-per-view, honestly. You could probably save it for an episode of Rampage, but it looks like an all-out match to me. Probably QT Marshall one-on-one against Paul White. I still cannot bring myself to care about anything QT Marshall does on TV. I'm sorry. Even I have my limitations. But it should be an easy win for the Big Slow, as The Rock would call it. Right? Isn't that The Rock was the one who gave him that name, and he used to do mock the whole choke slam thing. Right? I miss The Rock. Chris Jericho in his fourth labor. He was in the Lamaze class all week, preparing for this moment. Chris Jericho one-on-one against Wardlow, who had MJF in his corner at ringside. Jericho hit a code breaker almost immediately, but Wardlow kicked out quickly, easily, and then Wardlow took over from there. It was pretty much, you talk about a one-sided ass-kicking. That's really what this was for the majority of the match. He kept delivering a whole bunch of power bombs to Jericho. They went to a break. They came back. Jericho tried to fight back. Wardlow got him up, and Wardlow hit the F10, which he could have finished him off with. But MJF was coaching him from the outside. He wanted him to dole out some more punishments, so he didn't go for the pin. Wardlow was going for his casualty of war finish off the ropes, where the opponent is standing on the middle rope, and he kind of puts the thumb out, like for the Samoan spike. That's kind of what it looks like. Before he could do it, though, Jericho countered, and he took his legs out from under him. He put him in the walls of Jericho until MJF reached in and raked the eyes. And the referee, Aubrey Edwards, who is Chris Jericho's designated referee, I think, for all of his matches, she didn't see it. But when MJF got in the ring right after that to try to interfere, Aubrey caught him. And she ejected him. She kicked him out of ringside. While all of this was going on, Jericho grabbed his bat, Floyd. And when Wardlow came over and turned him around, he nailed Wardlow with the bat, which stunned him. It didn't knock him out. It stunned him, but then Jericho hit the Judas effect, and he got the win to win his fourth labor. Chris Jericho he's made it this far, right? He beat Sean Spears. He survived Nick Gage. Man, I might not survive this stream. He beat Juventud Guerrera, and then on this show, he beat Wardlow, which, not really thrilled about that, but I mean, we knew Wardlow was not going to win. At least there was a distraction. It took a baseball bat to get the job done. Because even Wardlow, he's not a guy I would be beating very often. But we knew that Jericho was going to make it to the fifth labor, which is MJF. And so that's exactly what has happened. Sean Spears ran out. He went into the ring to attack Jericho. Out comes Sammy Guevara. He hits the ring and takes down Spears. Wardlow is back up. He wrecks Sammy. Takes him out. So now MJF has the salt of the earth arm breaker on Jericho's injured arm. Jake Hager runs down, MJF bails. He grabs the mic, he says, you know, you might have gotten the fifth labor against me, but you still don't know my stipulations. He goes, next week, no Judas effect. So Chris Jericho is not going to be permitted to use the Judas effect, which he has used, I think, to win. I think he won every match, right? Did he win every labor with it? I know he beat Nick Gage with it. He hit one off the top to beat Hoovy. He beat Wardlow with it. I assume he beat Sean Spears in the first match. I don't even remember. So the story here is that the move that Jericho relies so much on, that he has won every single one of these labors with, I think, he is now having that weapon taken away from him. Well, it's a good thing he's got another move called the Codebreaker then, I guess. Lucky him. So he's not allowed to use the Judas effect next week. He also said no Judas music. He's going to be like Baron Corbin. You're going to have to come to the ring to no music. You're going to have to come to the sounds of silence. And you know the fans, you know what the fans are going to do, of course, right? The fans are going to sing the song anyway. So if they can get the crowd, I don't know, where are they next week? I don't even know what city they're in, but wherever they are next week, we'll see if the whole crowd, even without music, begins singing. And if they do, because, you know, sometimes the wrestling fans, when they start singing, they're all out of sync. They sound like shit. They're out of tune. We'll see if the fans sing the song anyway next week. But MJF said, these schmucks won't be able to sing along to your crappy little song. And if you hit me with the Judas effect, I automatically win. And he makes a prediction for next week. He goes, you're going to find that you didn't just meet your match. You have met your successor. So I'm a little puzzled by why they're doing this match on TV and not just waiting for All Out. Clearly, they're going to be working together at All Out, so that makes me think that we might be getting a non-finish. We might be getting some kind of a non-finish that then builds to a stipulation match. I could see this being in a cage. I could see this being contested inside of a steel cage. I could see this at All Out being a false count anywhere match, where if they want to just take it all over the building, right? I feel like it's got to be building to a stipulation, like a gimmick match of some kind. It would almost be anticlimactic to just do a regular straight singles match. But this will not be resolved next week. So, obviously, we're going to get some kind of a schmoz-type finish that builds to the pay-per-view, because it's just very strange that they're not waiting anyway for All Out to do the match in the first place. So, I thought that this was on the whole, I thought it was actually a pretty weak episode of Dynamite. I really did not like this episode nearly as much as I liked some of the shows a few weeks ago. Very weak episode. Here's the lineup for Rampage coming up this Friday. We're going to get Kenny Omega defending the Impact World Championship against Christian Cage in what I believe is the opener on the show. Miro defends the TNT title against Fuego del Sol. Not to be confused with Fuego del Solo Monster. That's me. I'm Fuego del Solo Monster. And if Fuego wins, he also would win a full-time AEW contract. So he's got a contract hanging in the balance waiting for him if he wins. And in the main event, Britt Baker will defend her AEW Women's Championship against Red Velvet. Dynamite next Wednesday. Tag team titles on the line. Young Bucks defend against Jurassic Express. Shawn Spears one-on-one with Sammy Guevara. And apparently Sammy will have some kind of a major announcement to make next week. Darby Allin and Sting team up to take on 2.0, the former Ever Rise from NXT, in a Texas Tornado match. And think about, you know, Matt and his partner. Think about Matt and Jeff. Not Hardy. But think about where they were just a few months ago. They could barely scrape up television time on NXT. And when we did see them, it was these brief backstage, you know, comedy segments. And then they got fired. They got laid off. And they have gone from that to working on TNT in a match next week against Sting. That's quite the upgrade from where they were just a few months ago. And I don't know if this is as good as it's going to get for them. Again, I don't know if they're under any kind of contract with them or not, but you talk about going from the outhouse to the penthouse in a short period of time, 2.0, this is going to be a big match for them next week. And I know it means a lot to them because, you know, from all that I've heard and everything, they're good guys. You know, even when they came to WWE, they used to be 3.0 on the indies, and there were a lot of people who were fans of their work, and then they came in, and of course, WWE just, you know, they signed those guys at a time where they were just stockpiling people, and they had no plans for them, so their careers just sort of stagnated. But, you know, for them, it's got to be a pretty cool feeling for them, you know, to find themselves in the ring in a match like that next week against Sting, so. Anyway, that's the Dynamite lineup for next week. We have a poll that is ongoing. It is live right now in the YouTube chat. So you don't even have to leave YouTube. Just go ahead and vote thumbs up or down. We've already got well over 600 votes on YouTube. But if you didn't see it, go vote. You'll see that blue box. It's 86% thumbs up, 14% thumbs down. And the Twitter poll is comparable. About 82% thumbs up and 18% thumbs down. So those are excellent scores. So it looks like you people liked the show more than I did. I didn't hate the show, but I didn't love it to the tune of 86% or 82%. I think that's overrating it quite a bit. I wouldn't go overly low, but I guess we'll have to have a difference of opinion this week here. But anyway, vote in those polls, and we'll check them again a little bit later on here in the stream. What I want to do is bring up your Super Chats. So if you have comments about tonight's show, if you have questions for me, if you just want to support the channel, go right ahead. drop a super chat. You'll see them pop up on your screen, and I will read each and every message that you guys send to me. Let's hang out here and have ourselves a super chat party. Nayef Al-Safar, good morning. Salamas are currently in Turkey, and it is 2:30 in the morning. Yeah, he sent that 4 hours ago, so I would hope Nayef is fast asleep by now. Manny D, Salamonster, you are the godfather. Let's see the ladies here. I was the godfather. Where are the ladies at? They're in the basement waiting until I'm done with the street. Then the real party begins. Kieran Buckley, if AEW can get CM Punk against Darby Allin at All Out, does losing to Punk hurt Darby? No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because Punk is a special case, right? He's a big name who went away for a very long time. His return is going to be a very big deal to the people in Chicago. He's going to be the welcoming megastar when he comes back in. A competitive match against Punk that ends in a loss does not harm or hurt Darby Allin in any way. So I think it's actually a great position for him to be in if he gets that match. It's a high-profile match. If Darby Allin gets the match at All Out with CM Punk, if Punk wrestles, that is the main event. Whether it goes on last or not, that is the main event of All Out. So yeah, I would say that's a good spot for Darby to be in. Ryan Spies, what the fuck are MJF and Jericho going to do at All Out? They're going to do a stipulation match, like I said. Either a cage match, or maybe false count anywhere. Look at this. Peanut butter Vader time. Super chat from Enigmatic. Thank you for the 777, brother. We'll get to you in a little bit here. We've got Spanish Goddess dropping $5 on the stream. That was a boring episode. Did 2.0 get signed? Because God, they're the definition of boring. So Spanish Goddess, not a fan of Dynamite tonight. Hulkling 93, harmless show. It was odd to see the Seidels just watch Dante and do nothing until the end. Also, I feel AEW tried real hard to give QT heat tonight. That was the entire purpose of that whole angle. They tried as best they could to get heat on him. But again, it's hard for... I don't want to speak for everybody, but it's hard for me to really give a shit. You know, he's a guy they can feed to Paul White, I guess, to give Big Show a win. I'd rather see Big Show beat QT Marshall than beat one of the young guys. You want to feed QT Marshall to him? Go ahead. Ryan Spies, I'm guessing Fuego loses to Miro on Rampage, and Sammy's announcement will be that he is going to avenge his friend and fight Miro it all out for the championship. Could be, although they've already said that he's got a big announcement to make. So, I mean, are you implying that he was going to request a TNT title match anyway? Because the match with Fuego hasn't even happened yet. They've already announced that Sammy's got some kind of announcement. But Sammy needs something to do at the pay-per-view, so you may be right. You may be right. Jose Inoua, Salamonster, your opinion. Cult of Personality hits in 10 days in Chi-Town. Top 10 or top 5 pop of all time? You know, I don't even know if it'll be top 10. There's been so many great, you know, crowd reactions over the years. I definitely think it could end up being top 10, though. More than top 5. I'll say top 10 potential. Guy's been gone for 7 years. In his hometown, in his home market. They're going to blow the roof off the place. Joe B. Was there live tonight. That opening match was so hype. And seeing Big Show was such an amazing moment. You don't hear comments like that anymore. I don't hear the word amazing being thrown around very often about Big Show these days, but I guess it just hits differently when you're in the building live. Loveless with the $20. Thank you. Thank you for the 20 spot. Been following for years now, and it's nice to finally catch you live. You're a great personality and cool as hell, dude. Wish me luck as my own podcast enters the realm of wrestling, starting with Mania 21. Can't wait. Love you, Solo. Well, good luck to Loveless. Everybody show some love to Loveless in the chat. All the best. Just have fun with it. I tell everybody who's starting a podcast, doing a podcast, just have fun with it. No matter how bad some of the shows may be that you're covering, as long as you're having fun with it, that really is all that matters. Coggies with the $20 super chat. Awesome podcast this week. Sad news with the passing legends and released talent. Your work on the history and excellent commentary are not unappreciated. Fun Dynamite this week. Pumped for Rampage. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying all the history stuff, because we've got 3 weeks left. And then it's all over. This week in history is going away. It's going to be one full year. So I hope you enjoy these last 3 weeks. I'm already working on the segment for this week, collecting the different events that took place. And there's some interesting ones in there. There are some very interesting ones in there. Ricardo De Jesus. Respect to you and Sean Ross Sapp, since him breaking the CM Punk story in your live streams, Dynamite has been must-see for me. Thank you. Well, thank you, Ricardo. Yeah, Sean does great work. He's broken some big stories lately. I mean, he was the one who was, I think, first on the scene with that Punk stuff. And look where we are now. Darlene with the $2. I want to see a Dante Martin Omega match one day. I think you'll see it. It might not be for the championship, but I think you'll see it. Temjin Zephyr. Truly enjoyed tonight's show. I also loved your piece on the late beautiful Bobby Eaton. What is your favorite wrestler's backstory? I don't know what you mean. What do you mean, favorite wrestler's backstory? I don't know exactly what you mean. A lot of wrestlers have a lot of very interesting backstories as far as how they broke into the business and that kind of stuff. I always like DDP's story, just because he was older. He was at that point where you wouldn't expect someone like that to first be kind of breaking out and becoming the star that he became. I always thought his story was a pretty cool one, because it just shows you that you don't have to be 22 years old or younger to break into the wrestling business. You know, even someone like Batista, he was older, right? Mid-30s, I think, when he first started to really break in. So, I don't know if that's what you mean, but that's my answer. Rodimus Prime. What's going on, Rodimus? I hope Rodimus is having a great week. Hope everybody listening, everybody watching is having a great week. But Rodimus says, decent show tonight. Can't wait for Friday, but buy, sell, or rent. The biggest liar in wrestling. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, or Bruce Pritchard. Well, I'm going to take Flair off that list, just because he can't compare to either one of these guys in terms of the bullshit that comes out of their mouths. So I would sell Flair. I mean, you got to buy on Hogan. All the tall tales. If the guy is breathing, you know that he's either, if he's not lying, he's embellishing, because he can't help himself. He's a worker. He's a carny. He's a worker. I don't know that he can ever really turn it off. It's like he's just always on. He's always got to embellish. And it's just, there's so many Hogan stories and tall tales that I've told on the podcast over the years. I think he's an even bigger bullshitter than Bruce. I would rent Bruce and I would buy on Hogan. Enigmatic with the $5. I don't want Christian Cage to lower his value going back to Impact Wrestling. It's a downgrade. Let the past stay in the past. Well, I mean, I don't think it would be a case where he would be back there full time. I just think it would be like Omega, where Omega makes select appearances defending the title. That, I think, would be fine. I don't think... Look, Christian didn't sign with AEW to go back full-time to Impact. I can assure you of that. So if he was to win the title, it would be a defense here and there. I don't see him spending a whole lot of time in Impact. Omar Garza with the $10. If Jericho beats MJF next week, is he the next number one contender? That would be 5 straight wins for him, plus he and Omega are at 1 win apiece. Could be. Could be. Could be setting up Jericho maybe to get a title match that, you know, Omega would win. Maybe that is kind of what sends Jericho on his way. If Jericho's going to take time off and go tour with Fozzy. Yeah, I thought he was building his tour schedule around the Dynamite schedule, around, you know, being free on Wednesdays. But, you know, if he needs time off, then you can do a storyline angle of some kind to explain why he's off TV. You do a match with Omega, have the Elite beat him down. Sure. You can do anything you want. The more people that Omega beats, the bigger deal it's going to be when Hangman finally takes the title from him. Devin from New Jersey, 2000 with the $5 Super Chat. Hey, Solomonster, when are you going to do another members-only Q&A? It's funny you mention that. I'm going to be putting a thread or a post up for channel members. I was going to do it this week, but then time got away from me with some stuff that's going on that maybe I'll tell you guys about maybe next week. Some personal stuff, but it's going to be going up probably in the next several days. I'll put the post up so people can start posting questions, and then I'll just try to collect as many of them as I can, and whichever ones I don't get to, I'll use in the next one. So for those who don't know, we have, you know, one of the perks if you're a channel member is that I do these video members-only Q&As. I've already done, I think, two or three of them. Because we only opened memberships, really, on the channel not that long ago, a few months ago. But these are videos for members only, answering your questions directly that you post under the community tab on the channel. You know, members only. Only members can see it. Only members can post in that particular thread. And I answer your Q&A. So we'll be doing another one of those very soon. So think of some good ones. And try to only submit one. One question. Try to make it a good one. Dry Chicken Without Flavor. Santana and Ortiz might win the tag titles a Grand Slam against the Bucks. Now, what if Private Party is secretly the team to take the tag team titles? I don't see it. I think that... And I would not be in support of that idea. Right now, they're building to a rematch once Cash Wheeler is healthy again. Maybe it All Out. Between FTR and Santana and Ortiz. Santana and Ortiz should win. That should put them in pole position as far as being number one contenders. And then you build to the Arthur Ashe show. And I think you do a tag team title change on that show. In Queens, in that stadium. I think it would be a huge moment for Santana and Ortiz. They have yet to have their moment. All this time they've been in AEW. I can't think of a better place for them to blow the roof off. Well, I mean, there's a retractable roof. I guess the roof would only be on if it were raining. Then they could put the roof up. But I would not be putting the belts on Private Party before I put them on Santana and Ortiz. You could always put them on Santana and Ortiz and then feud them with Private Party. Private Party, you know, right now, you know, they're Matt Hardy's lackeys. They don't feel like number one contenders. I don't know rankings-wise where they would be. It's not building to that. You can't disrupt the story that's there with Santana and Ortiz, who are more over than Private Party right now is anyway. They should be the ones to win those belts. Tyler with the dollar super chat drop. Thank you, Tyler. Food Hive. Hit that like button. Food Hive has spoken. Yes, hit that thumbs up. What were we aiming for anyway? What was the number I said? Let me see where we are. Oh, we're lagging behind. You gotta get those likes up. Let's try to break past 300 here before we end tonight. EJ Slemp, the Mac. Oh, I assume he means Max. The Max Caster controversy reminded me of AW. Oh, Abraham Washington. Okay, and his firing. Whatever happened to him? He's been MIA for a decade. Would you like to see him in AEW? I have no idea what happened to him. I don't think he's in the wrestling business anymore. And his name never even crossed my mind. You know, he looked like he had potential as a heel manager, kind of like what MVP is today with Lashley and what he was with the Hurt Business. Do I have an interest in him coming to AEW? Why don't you just send everybody to AEW? Now we're sending people to AEW who aren't even in the business anymore. I think AEW has a surplus of managers. I don't think he's needed now. I don't have any interest in seeing that. He was somebody who had potential, and Linda McMahon was getting ready to run for Senate, and it was he said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and he got screwed over. You know, he paid the price for it. Although what he said was you know, it might have been dumb, but he really was more a victim of poor timing than anything else. Because if I'm remembering correctly, it had a lot to do with Linda either running or getting ready to run for office. And, you know, he made a Kobe Bryant rape joke that just was not going to... it was not going to end well for him, and it didn't. And that was pretty much the end for him. That was the end of his career. Tyler dropping another buck. Thank you, Tyler. Ryan Spies. Cutler accidentally cost Kenny the Impact belt on Kenny attacks him post-match, which leads to him going on an undefeated streak, and crowds start to chant Cutler like they do Goldberg, and he squashes Kenny for the title. I want you to put the mushrooms down. I'm sure they're quite delectable, but you got to put the shrooms down. All right, because now you're starting to freak me out a little bit when you post stuff like that. Dried chicken without flavor. The Young Bucks are trying to piss off Jim Cornette, but in all seriousness, the Young Bucks have to be careful not to draw too much go away heat. Yeah, they're starting down that road. So they have to be a little careful there. Enigmatic Jericho being featured on Dynamite every week. Honestly, tired of seeing him featured literally every Dynamite. I think Jericho, once this program with MJF is over, he's got to disappear. I mean, he would really benefit by disappearing for a couple of months or longer. Plus, you know, with all the big names coming in, they don't need him on TV right now. He can actually take a break. He can go do other stuff. He's not needed. He's been putting a lot of time in on television. We've been seeing him, like you said, every single week. We know Punk's coming in. We know Brian is probably coming in. They've got some other new names like Black and Andrade that they need to feature more. They don't need Jericho at the moment on TV. So if anybody would benefit, I think, from taking a little bit of time off, it's Jericho. And frankly, in these matches, he's looked very slow. You know, obviously, he's a lot heavier than he used to be. He just looks very sloth-like in the ring and very sluggish. I think some time away would do him well. EJ Slemp, will you be watching my White Sox play the Yankees at the Field of Dreams in Iowa tomorrow night? I didn't even know that was happening. No, I will not be. I will not be watching that. Uffman Entertainment with the $10 Super Chat drop. I was today years old when I realized the Pirates, Penguins, and Steelers all have the same colors. Possibly the only teams in different sports from the same city with the same colors. Well, how about that? Oz and Glorious with the $5 Super Chat. What's going on, Oz? Oz and Glorious says, my buddy... That reminds me of those old commercials for that doll. Remember the My Buddy doll? My buddy, my buddy. He just reminded me of that. My buddy, who is 5'10", met Adam Cole a while ago and said that he's a hair shorter than Cole. When is he coming to AEW? Hopefully soon. Because if Adam Cole, after everything we've seen recently and heard and witnessed with our own eyes in terms of the destruction of NXT and the way people who look like him are used on the main roster, if he doesn't leave that company and go to AEW, I said it the other day, he gets what he deserves. He needs to leave. He needs to get the hell out of there. AEW is the most likely landing spot if he leaves. I think he would fare very well. He would fare much better there than he will on Raw or SmackDown. He needs to leave. And I hope he does. Dr. NXT Scorpio rather have Brandy on TV every week than QT. Well, she looks a lot prettier than he does, so I agree. Oz and Glorious, again, I am so sick of QT Marshall getting TV time on every show when there are so many far better talents who we only see randomly. Enough already. Food Hive, which way did he go? In Shane's voice with the, I remember that storyline. Which way did he go? Which way did Shane go? Was that 2000? It was 2000, right? Wasn't it April and May of 2000, I think he was feuding with Big Show. Enigmatic, QT should stay on Dark or Backstage, not on pay-per-views. I agree. Paul Heyman, with WWE releasing semen. Can you see semen flowing over to AEW? Hopefully there won't be any semen leaks online to spoil this. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Jared M, with the $25 drop. Jared, what's going on? Hulkling 93. With the $5 super chat, I finally watched Yokozuna versus Lex Luger. Always knew how dumb the finish was, but Luger's post-match promo makes it one of the dumbest matches ever produced. Yes, it made him look like a giant jabroni. They had balloons falling from the ceiling. He was celebrating like he had just won the championship. Even Young Solomonster watched that pay-per-view and said, this guy's a fucking moron. It didn't do him any favors. Sometimes you have to strike while the iron is hot. And I'm not even sure how hot the iron was. I mean, he was over to a degree. But if you were going to do it, that was the time to do it. And they didn't do it. And then after that, the people made their voices heard. The people spoke. They wanted Bret Hart. They made that very clear. Dry chicken without flavor. What if MJF next week on Dynamite decides to call off the match due to the crowd singing Judas? Well, that would be a cop-out. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Do you think FTR and Pound and Powerful... I didn't know where you were going with that. Proud and Powerful. Pound and Powerful sounds like some kind of fucking porn duo. Hey, it's Sam94. Just became a Sound Off Legend. Thank you for becoming a channel member, brother. All of our Sound Off Legends have access to the retro shows that are going up each month. First 10 episodes ever of the Sound Off are now up, by the way. And the first ever SC Scoops Live call-in show that we did back in 2008. So if you are a legend, if you are on the legend tier, you will have access to that. But, yeah, Pound and Powerful. I think I may have seen a movie like that not too long ago, but... Proud and Powerful. Proud and Powerful. Do you think that FTR and Proud and Powerful will have a scaffold match at the show in Queens? You know, I saw Santana respond to someone's tweet about a scaffold match, and clearly Santana would love to do a scaffold match. I don't like scaffold matches. The ones I've seen have all been just fucking boring because you're all the way up there, you're scared shitless, you have to be very careful, you can only do so much without falling off. I just don't find them exciting, you know. But Tony Khan has demonstrated that he's not afraid of doing crazy kinds of matches, you know, and obviously he's open to doing stuff like exploding barbed wire death matches. So would I put it past them to do a scaffold match? If they think there's a safe enough way to do it, yeah, they probably would do it. But I think they're boring. I don't see the point in doing a scaffold match. What would be the point in doing one? What exactly would be the reasoning? Just to do it? Like, what's the point? There's got to be a reason why. I don't see a reason for it. but I'm sure Santana would love to. I think scaffold matches are just, generally, they're just shit. I don't really see what's appealing about them, other than everyone's waiting around for the big bump. That's really what it is, right? Everybody's waiting for somebody to fall off or be thrown off. Doesn't need to be a scaffold match. Enigmatic. Impact Wrestling features New Japan talent every week, while AEW only does one-offs for the U.S. title. It would be nice to have NJPW's presence every week on Wednesdays. I don't think you want to do it every week. I do think you want to, you know, keep it as sort of a special thing. But again, I think COVID is just really screwing everything up. And I think that once travel becomes easier, and I don't know when that's going to be, honestly, the way things are going, especially over there, I think we're going to be waiting a while. But I do think that were it not for COVID and some of the travel restrictions and, you know, things of that nature, I think we would be seeing more New Japan on Dynamite. But even then, I wouldn't do it every week. You know, you want to pick your spots when it comes to that stuff. And frankly, it's not that easy, right? If you got people traveling in from Japan, it's not like they can do that every week. That's quite the trip. But I am looking forward to the day where we can have that more often. You know, they've got the big resurgence show coming up this weekend. It's going to be Tanahashi against Lance Archer for the U.S. title. Jon Moxley is going to be on that show. See what happens coming out of that show. I'm holding out hope we might get Tanahashi against Moxley at All Out. But a lot of that might depend on what happens on the show this Saturday. Oz and Glorious, why is Jay White being wasted on this Chris Bay BS in front of 40 people at Impact when he could feud with the Elite at Dynamite, but we get QT instead? Cruel. I agree. I would much rather have Jay White on Dynamite than QT Marshall. Well, why is he toiling away on Impact? Come on, man. Let's get some of that stuff on TNT. Food High. Says again, hit that like button, Jagoffs. He said it, not me. Blame him. Jkin62 with the $5. May I request that you take a minute, bust out an impression, and tell us how Vince Russo would book CM Punk's debut. Keep up the good work, bro. Well, bro, the only way to do it, bro... You know, when I was in TNA, bro, you know, Dixie Carter, she gave me all the power to book the kind of matches that I wanted to, bro. And I would do the reverse battle royal. Obviously, you can put things on a poll. People love polls. Every election, all you hear about are polls. CM Punk on a poll. Punk on a poll. There you go. That works. Maybe what they can do in the United Center next week is they can lower CM Punk from the ceiling on a pole. And like a pole dancer, he could sort of swivel his way down. Or like one of those poles they have in like a firehouse. Or the Ghostbusters used to have in their house. Joseph Brooks. Hope Punk doesn't get hurt like The Rock did. The Rock got hurt because The Rock was very big. I don't think CM Punk is taking the kind of vitamins and supplements that The Rock was taking at that time. I think he'll be okay. Dry chicken without flavor. I'm calling it. Dante Martin is the Will Ospreay of AEW. Dante Martin should take part of the best of the Super Juniors in 2023. I'd love to see him in the best of the Super Juniors. I wouldn't be calling him the Will Ospreay of anything. Will Ospreay is, I mean, whatever you think of him, he's an incredible talent. I don't think he should be worried about being the Will Ospreay of anything. I think he should just be the Dante Martin of AEW. You don't want to put that kind of pressure on a young kid like that. It's just unnecessary. Then he's got to live up to these expectations. Fucks with his head. Chris Manson with the 10 spot. How do you think WWE will respond if Punk and Bryan do end up in AEW, or will they not care at all? I think this is a big deal. WWE should not ignore or take lightly. Well, they don't really have a choice in the matter. It's not really their call, right? They could have kept Bryan, and it doesn't look like they did. Supposedly, WWE is still hopeful of being able to make some kind of a deal with him, which I'm not sure how that's possible if he's signed a contract with AEW. So I think they're shit out of luck. Obviously, there were certain things Brian wanted, and they didn't give it to him. One of those things probably is to work in Japan. But as far as why he made the decision he made, you'd have to ask Brian. And I'm sure once he debuts, he'll probably be doing interviews. He might do an interview on that AEW Uncensored podcast, and he'll probably, you know, fill us in about where his head's at, why he decided to leave. I'm sure there was a very good reason why. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would say, oh, it's the money. You know, I would have stayed, but they were going to pay me more, because I'm sure AEW was not paying him in peanuts. So what was it that led to him making the decision to go here instead of there? I don't know. Sometimes you just want a change in scenery. He's been in that company now for a decade. It's time to get out. Maybe he just wanted to hear Final Countdown again. They wouldn't give him the song. They said, fuck it, I'm out of here. Would be kind of funny, you know, if he debuts on that Arthur Ashe show or All Out or wherever he debuts and he doesn't come out to Final Countdown. They couldn't get the rights for some reason, so they just got basically his WWE music, you know, whatever classical, I forgot the name of it, Flight of the Bumblebee or whatever the fuck it was. Flight of the Valkyries, that's what it was. Not Flight, Flight of the Bumblebee is a different song. Who's to say he won't come out to Flight of the Valkyries? People will be chanting yes. I would be disappointed, though. I want him to come out to Final Countdown. Moroa, 12004. Don't like the Christian versus Omega match at Rampage. Them facing off 2 weeks before All Out is something WWE would do. I also think Christian wins on Friday. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I would not beat Omega. I would not beat Omega. Colbert Massey, Jericho has a show the night before and after All Out. Yeah, again, I think he's crafting his schedule around the wrestling dates, so he might not have to take time off. You know, he might not be missing any TV time at all. Moroa, after he is done with Jericho, would you have MJF feud with a newcomer like Punk, or have Wardlow turn on him and have him feud against, have Wardlow feud with Wardlow? That would be a hell of a feud. I'd love to see that. Look, they're gonna feud at some point. You know, they're gonna break up MJF and Wardlow. I would be a little hesitant to do it right now just because of all the big names that are coming in. I feel like he might get lost in the shuffle if they do the Wardlow turn soon. I would keep him and MJF together a little bit longer, at least a few months longer, and then later in the year, maybe sometime early next year before Revolution, you can split them up then. I would hate for them to do something now in the next like month or two, and then it just gets lost in the noise of Punk and Brian and everything else that's going on. So I would hold off on that a little bit. There's no need to rush into it. EJ Slemp. The downfall of NXT reminds me of downfall of Ring of Honor. If Sinclair decides to sell ROH, would you rather see AEW buy it and the tape library than WWE? Honestly, I don't really care one way or the other. You know, as a Peacock subscriber, you know, I have the cock. It's easy for me to bring up the tape library that WWE has. So if they got Ring of Honor stuff and put it up, you know, I might check out some of the old stuff. If AEW got it, what are they going to do with it? They don't have a network of their own. So they could, I mean, what are they going to do? Put it up on their YouTube channel? Sell DVDs? I mean, what are they going to do with it? With WWE, if they're going to use it, you know that there's a place to go access it. But I'm not exactly dying to sit around and just go back and watch old Ring of Honor stuff. You know what I've been doing, honestly? What I've been doing, you know, like laying in bed at night, falling asleep, watching. They've done a pretty good job of getting a lot of the old Coliseum videos up on Peacock. I was just watching Crunch Classic last night. I mean, there's Coliseum videos that I didn't even watch, you know, back in the day. That's the stuff that I watch. You know, the old Superstars Wrestling Challenge. That's the stuff I grew up on. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not gonna sit around watching too much you know, of the recent stuff. But there are some of those old Ring of Honor shows, a lot of them that I was at and I had a lot of fun at, that I wouldn't mind going back and watching. You know, that has Danielson and Nigel McGuinness. Remember when they brought in, Takeshi Morishima. Homicide was, you know, on top doing his thing. And Tyler Black. Yeah, I might go back and watch that stuff. Yep. Christopher Travers, Crunch Classic. They just added it the other day. Was watching that. I was watching, I think they put up Smack'em Whack'em. I have the VHS here somewhere. That's the one, that's the tape that had the Bret Hart WWF title win over Ric Flair. And the ladder match with Shawn Michaels. Smack'em Whack'em. That's on the network as well. The thing about the network, about Peacock, I believe they only a few days ago added a section on like the main WWE page that says, I think, the best of home video or something. But there's searching for content on there is fucking horrendous. So you've got to go to the very bottom to really, truly search through all, like, let's say the Coliseum videos. And you just got to go through alphabetically everything. You've got to know what to search for. Like, I don't even know half the names of the videos. On the network before, they had a section. And all the videos were listed in that one section. I don't know why it is so difficult for them to go ahead and organize stuff in the same way. So I'm hoping that's something they fix. Because right now, it's kind of a shit show on Peacock. And I guess they're rushing to get everything up in the next 2 weeks before SummerSlam that was up on the network previously. That was their timeline. They were hoping that before SummerSlam or by SummerSlam, all the old stuff would be up. And it's not all up yet, but it looks like they're trying to kind of rush everything out as quickly as they can these last couple of weeks. But it's almost impossible to find some of the stuff on there unless you know specifically what to search for. It's horrendous. Dry chicken without flavor. Was there a fly on the wall when Lily the doll was winking at you on your TV screen last Monday? No, but there's a fly in here. He's been quiet. You should have seen it before I went live tonight. I heard such a buzzing in my ear. I thought there was a bee in this room. And it was a fly. But this thing, it was like a fly on cocaine. I've never seen a fly. He was bouncing from wall to wall. I mean, like, what's wrong with this fly? And I would try to spray him with some, like, air freshener. I don't have a fly swatter, and he's moving too fast for me. So I'm trying to spray him with stuff. I got freaking air freshener all over my equipment now and everything. You know, but this thing, I don't know what. He was all whacked out. He was like he was on drugs. I haven't seen him during the stream so far, which is good. I don't know what I would do. You would see me trying to spray him here live on YouTube. I'd end up spraying the camera and probably destroying the thing. Still Koji says hi. Hi. Thank you, Koji, for the $1.99. Uffman says, where would a fly get cocaine? I don't know, it's New York. Who knows where the fly came from? Which, depending on which borough the fly came from, if he came from Manhattan, if he came from the Bronx, it probably wouldn't be too hard to find cocaine, especially in Manhattan. It probably wouldn't be too hard to find cocaine. Which reminds me, actually, when I went to, when we went on the Jericho cruise, the beginning of last year, we got that cruise in right before COVID. Although apparently COVID was circulating at the time and we didn't know it, but we had a fly out of Miami. And so we went down to Miami, me and some buddies, and hey, Tony in the chat, what's going on? Tony Havoc. So we're in Miami, and I'm walking down the street. I was going to a CVS to pick up something, I think suntan lotion or something. And I was walking by a bus stop, you know, like a bus shelter. And there's, you know, a guy just walking up to me. You want to buy? He had cocaine. You want to buy some? I go, no, I'm good, thank you. Middle of the day. Later on, I'm walking down a different street in a different area in Miami. Same thing. You want to buy some cocaine? So if I ever want to, I know exactly where to go. I'll just fly down to Miami, but it's Miami. So, I mean, come on, you know, Scarface. But it was just such a casual thing. Like, I couldn't go three blocks without being offered cocaine. Maroa, since you have Peacock, would you try to watch the English Premier League on this season? No, I have no interest in seeing that at all. And Chris Manson, looks like he's going to get the final super chat in, unless one comes in late. Chris Manson says, NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys? Ooh. Well, I can't sit here and tell you that I have either of them on my playlist at the moment, but NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys? You know, I would probably go with, man, I would probably go with NSYNC. I'm just playing it back in my head, the songs that I know of theirs that I liked. I guess Bye 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 is probably their biggest hit, right? Bye Bye Bye. They had It Makes Me Ill. Digital Get Down, right? I would go NSYNC over the Backstreet Boys. Oh, it looks like we have a difference of opinion here. We got like a 50-50 split in the chat. Well, there's only one way to settle this. Tony Khan has to sign NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys to bring them in to have a match against each other on Dynamite. Food Hive, welcome to a Sound Off legend. Look at that. Food Hive, thank you for becoming a member. We're upgrading. Were you already a member? I don't know if he was already a member or not. Sreese Manson. Hi, Solomon. Sir, if you were a wrestler, what would have been your entrance music? For me, it would have been Venushka by Duran Gray. Hold on. Let me move the super chats up so you can see them on screen. There we go. Venushka. I don't even know what that is. Venushka? Babushka? What would my entrance music be? Wow. I feel like I should say NSYNC now, right? Bye 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 is in my opponents. We'll be going Bye Bye Bye. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I'm choosing from wrestlers or am I just choosing anything? If I'm choosing anything, I'm probably picking, let's see. I would pick, remember the song Knock Three Times? Knock Three Times on the Ceiling If You Want Me? I'll go with that song. Dr. NXT Scorpio. I laughed when a fan said that we were NXT after the We Are NXT bit last night. Sad but true. Nolan Thomas, that's who it was. Yes, Ultimate Elite says Nolan Thomas. Nolan Thomas, but what was the name of the song? It was something Brother, Hey Brother. Something like that. That's a great song. Dr. NXT Scorpio says favorite Queen song. Favorite Queen song. Probably Another One Bites the Dust. Like the beat. Dry Chicken, love the music background. I would love to see Private Party draw more crowd heat by attacking Best Friends and Chris Statlander. I'd like to see them break away from Matt Hardy and not just be lackeys. That's what I'd like to see. They've cooled off a lot. They've really been cooled off a lot since the heel turn, since linking up with Matt. To me, it just doesn't really, the whole Hardy family office thing, it just don't work for me. Food Hive, we have 9 days. CM Punk, 9 days to prepare. We are 9 days away from the return to pro wrestling of CM Punk. So many people have asked me questions about him over the years. Will he ever come back? Well, we're about to find out, right? We're about to finally get our answer. Can Punk still be a draw? Can he be a ratings draw? Can he make AEW a lot of money? What does he look like in the ring? Can he still cut a promo? You know, they got some really good talkers in this company. I'm excited to find out. Paul Heyman in the chat says, did you hear about Michael Elgin? Are you referring to that video scare from a few days ago, or did something else happen that I'm not aware of? It seems like a cry for attention. He should probably get some help. Moroa, who should Miro face at All Out? Well, somebody before recommended or suggested that maybe Sammy Guevara is going to challenge him. I think Sammy Guevara against Miro would be a very good match. That works for me. I'd like to see it. Abdul Rahman says he doubts that Punk will draw long term. No, nobody knows. That's the whole thing. We don't know. It could be that when Punk and Bryan debut within a few weeks, the bloom is off the rose and they just kind of feel like anyone else. It really all depends on how AEW uses them. Are they going to be on television every week the way Sting has been on television every week? Because Sting, after a while, didn't feel so special anymore. You know, even if they have full-time deals, do you put Punk on TV every week? Do you put Bryan on TV every week? Bryan probably would want to be on TV every week. He probably wants to work with everybody on that roster. Punk, I'd be more selective with. Bryan, you just let him loose. Let him work with everybody. Punk, I'd be more selective with. I would make him an attraction. I wouldn't want to burn him out too quickly, you know? Oh, Jolly Burgos, with the creepy Jeff Hardy $20 super chat drop. Thank you, Oh Jolly. Malachi on Jericho's podcast said that he wants to work with Sonny. And I can't tell you how much it means to me to finally see Sonny Kiss be given a chance to shine. Maybe tonight's video with his split from Joey was step one. Yeah, they showed that from Dark where Joey Janela turned on Sonny Kiss. I don't know if that's more something to do with Sonny Kiss going forward or if it's more Joey Janela going heel and they're going to do more with him. I don't get the impression that they're planning on doing more with Sonny Kiss. I know O'Jolly is a big fan of Sonny's, but I don't see it. I don't have that really, you know, I don't get that idea from what they're doing on TV. But if Malachi Black wants to work with Sonny Kiss, in all honesty, he's probably working a match, not a program. So I wouldn't expect there to be any kind of, you know, long-term program between the two of them. Food Hive says Solomonster movie reviews. Maybe. We had Sound Off Gamer for a while. We might even bring it back one day, so you never know. Sound Off movie reviews. I've done a few movie reviews on the channel. If you search on the YouTube channel, I'm trying to think of what they were, but I've done a handful of movie reviews. Actually, whatever that last Cloverfield, it was bullshit. It wasn't even a Cloverfield movie. Yeah, that bullshit they released on Netflix. They just attached the Cloverfield name to it, the Cloverfield Paradox. It was bullshit. But I think I did a review on the channel, so search around. You'll find some movie reviews that I've done. You know, the name of the channel is Solomonster Sounds Off. It is not Solomonster Sounds Off on Wrestling. It can be Solomonster Sounds Off on anything. Just remember that. That's why I named the show that way. I can talk about anything I want. Let's see here. We've got a whole bunch of more Super Chats that came through. So let me make sure I don't miss anybody here. Dried chicken without flavor. Brian Knobbs has been hospitalized. Yeah, I saw that earlier today. He's a mess. I mean, physically, he's in horrible shape. I mean, he is just, from the last time I saw him, just ballooned in weight. He clearly has let his weight get the better of him. And now he's having health issues, and I'm sure are at least in part related to his weight. You know, he's having stomach issues of some kind. His knee went out. He had a bad knee that apparently now has just gone out, and he's not going to be able to walk normally unless he has some kind of surgery. So they set up a GoFundMe. He gave someone permission to set up a GoFundMe for him. And I think it had already raised about $3,000, you know. He's good friends with Terry. So it'll be very interesting to see if Hulk Hogan does anything to help out one of his supposed friends. Hogan is the $140 million man after that settlement he won from the whole Gawker thing. So if anybody can help Brian Knobbs, it's Hulk Hogan. We'll see if he lifts a finger to help him. Griga with the $10. Rewatch the Seinfeld Garage episode, Pure Laughs. Marine biologist has to be in the top five. Loving the stream. Yes, marine biologist. The sea was angry that day. An old man trying to return soup at a deli. There's so many quotable lines from that show, it's just impossible to remember them all. Chris Manson says, Amanda Bynes movies or Lindsay Lohan? I'm not really a fan of either of their movies, but Amanda Bynes, what little stuff I saw of her on Nickelodeon when my brother used to watch all that and shows like that, and I think she was on there. I don't think I've ever watched anything that had Lindsay Lohan in it. I never even saw The Parent Trap. So I guess by default I'll go with Amanda Bynes, but they're out of my age demographic. Abdul Rahman, what do you think of Malachi breaking down how his match with Cody was put together less than 24 hours later? It's just the way of the business now. I don't like it, but he's not the only one who does it, right? Jericho does stuff on Dynamite and then goes on his podcast and does the same thing. He breaks it down. Here's how we did it. They did that with the blood and guts stunt. He kind of breaks it all down. So, it's fascinating to listen to, but kayfabe is dead. So it almost doesn't even matter anymore. Kayfabe is dead. Kayfabe has been dead for a long time. Some people try to preserve it. But the wrestling business now is just not, it's not what it used to be. Social media and the internet, podcasts, shoot interviews. It's just a different world now. And Maroa, what is your favorite movie? Well, that's kind of a loaded question there. I don't know that I would narrow it down to one. I have favorites. I have favorite movies. Die Hard is a favorite, the original. Die Hard's a great movie. So is the third one, by the way. Die Hard, Die Hard 3. The original Halloween from 1978. The Thing, the John Carpenter version of The Thing, is a favorite of mine. There's so many. Cloverfield, my God. The people are going to laugh at me. The poster you see behind me, that's a Cloverfield poster. That's the poster from before the movie came out. That's the decapitated Statue of Liberty. So, of course, that's one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorite movies. I can't just boil it down to one. I watched The Goonies nonstop when I was a kid. You know what else I watched nonstop when I was a kid? There was a Big Bird movie. Find That Bird. I haven't seen that movie in ages. But I watched that so many friggin' times, I can't even tell you. So, different parts of my life, depending on how old I was, I kind of go through these phases of what I like, in terms of my favorites. Find That Bird. Boy, that's going back a ways. Yeah, Temjin, Die Hard 3 is Die Hard with a Vengeance. I love that movie. Oh, well, you know what? Thank you. Someone mentioned Batman, the Tim Burton Batman from 89. That's great. The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, if I had to narrow it down to one, I actually might say The Dark Knight is my all-time favorite movie. That movie was phenomenal. I thought the first one that Nolan did was kind of boring. I thought the third one was not nearly as good. The Dark Knight was just perfection. Heath Ledger was fantastic, but that movie, the score, the way it was shot, like, my heart was racing watching that movie in the theater, it was just a masterpiece. And you know who's in it? Zeus has a role in what may be my favorite movie ever, and it's not No Holds Barred. Who figured? Who would have figured? But the original RoboCop in 87, oh, what a violent movie. It's just this dystopian, no hope, horror, like you would never want to live in a world like that. I feel like we're kind of living through that now in some ways. But yeah, the original RoboCop in 87 would be on my list as well. Yeah, if you've never seen The Dark Knight, you need to drop whatever you're doing and go see it. The Dark Knight is to movies what the 1992 Royal Rumble for me is to wrestling. How's that for an analogy? So if you haven't seen it, you're missing out. Favorite Batman, Adam West, Michael Keaton, or Christian Bale? You know what? Michael Keaton. Yeah, Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman. Well, anyway, we could be here all night talking about movies. I'm sure we'll talk more about it next week. Don't forget, I am going to be live with you on Friday night, at least these next 2 weeks, because obviously next week is going to be a huge show. And the premiere is this Friday, so I want to make sure I go live. We're not going to be talking SmackDown. We're going to be talking Rampage as soon as it goes off the air. So figure probably around 11:05, 11:10. I'll be live with you on YouTube talking about the show. And back again next Wednesday for the Dynamite review. Of course, episode 717 of the podcast will drop on Sunday. We only have a few weeks left of this week in wrestling history. So all the clips, all the segments are loaded up in a playlist right here on the YouTube channel. If you ever wanted to go find them all in one place. And if you like the segment and you want to support, you could support right there on any of those history videos. There's a thanks button under every YouTube video now on this channel that allows you to donate that way if you don't want to do, you know, a super chat or PayPal or anything else. So I hope you guys are enjoying the history segments. I've enjoyed doing them, and it'll be nice to get back to more mailbag questions that you guys email me, which I haven't had a lot of time for on the podcast. So it's all good. One chapter closes, we'll fill it with something else. But we only have a few weeks left of that. Uffman Entertainment says, it's follow that bird. Isn't that what I said? I think that's what I said, follow that bird. What did I say? Did I say something else? The Big Bird movie, I thought it was follow that bird. Yeah, the Coug in the chat says Escape from New York. I just watched it, literally, 2 weeks ago. I watched it again for the first time in many years. I wonder what is Solomonster's favorite Sesame Street character? Grover. I used to have the monster. I still have it somewhere. The monster at the end of the book is a Grover book. Grover is my favorite. Anonymous, I love you too. Now I have Ultimate Elite in the chat saying, find that bird. Is that what I said? Find that bird? How about this? Fuck that bird. That's what I say about Peacock. That's my movie. I'm going to make a movie about Peacock called Fuck That Bird. All right, guys. Thank you for all of the comments, all the likes. Hit that thumbs up. All of the super chats. It's always fun hanging out with you guys. Again, I wasn't really feeling tonight's episode of Dynamite, but it wasn't a bad show. Just kind of boring. They can't all be home runs, I guess, but hopefully things will pick up. I have a feeling next week things are going to pick up quite a bit. This should be fun to follow along, and I hope you'll join me and choose me for your coverage again. So until next week, I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend, fantastic rest of your week. And I'm going to be back with you for more AEW Dynamite next Wednesday. But before then, join me Friday night, live right here on the channel. And that's all I got. Oh, actually, there is one more thing I wanted to mention, because not everybody is aware of this. As you see on the screen, I'm on Twitter. You should follow me on there, at Solomonster. I am on Instagram. It's actually linked in every single video I do if you go in the description, but I never mention it. I'm not really as active on there, but I'm starting to be more active on Instagram. So if you are on Instagram, if you prefer Instagram, if you like Instagram, I'm on Instagram. So go follow me on there because I'm going to be posting more often. The Solomonster. Twitter, it's just Solomonster. On Instagram, it's The Solomonster. All one word. So go give me a follow on there. That was one thing I wanted to mention. Dr. NXT Scorpio, you get the last super chat. He says, I never watched Halloween 3 and good. Oh, you bastard. You bastard. Well, you know what? It's your loss. It's your loss, man. I was like you. I did not like the idea of Halloween 3, the fact that it was not a Michael Myers movie, until I actually watched it. And then I appreciated it for what it was. I think you will too. If you're into that kind of like 80s horror stuff and you like the whole John Carpenter synthwave, you know, soundtrack, I just love everything about it. I think it's a great movie. So that's your homework assignment. Go watch Halloween 3. I'm going to go back to this wonderful... I'm going to end with the wonderful thumbnail that we put together for tonight's show. And I'm going to thank Steve for it again. So if anybody missed it, we'll end with this. I'll see you guys Friday night for Rampage. Take care, guys.